Okay, everybody, welcome to the next session in the full Beit Midrash series. My name is Chaim Methger, member of Beit Midrash Zichron Dov, as well as rabbinic assistant at the Bayit. And today we're going to be exploring a little bit about sports and exercise and how that relates to doing that on Shabbos. So just to do a quick summary of from last time, for those who missed it. So we went through some histories, the messy history of Jews in sports, going from the times of the Hasmoneans through the times of Herod, all the way to modern day, where we discussed some of the issues being Jews abandoning Judaism at various points in order to pursue different sports, and the decrees that were given therein. Again, there's specific decree, there are specific decrees against playing of sports, as opposed to that of, again, there's general positive mitzvah, let's say of fulfilling Torah, and that not doing so is a problem of bitul talmud Torah, but there is a specific prohibition of sports and the like because it seemed to be a large degree of Hellenization and leading to far worse things as well. So that's what we discussed last time. And now, again, some of those issues will come up again as we try to figure out if you can do sport and exercise on Shabbat. So for that, I'm going to share screen. So again, I pasted the Makor in the chat, but if you haven't had it downloaded or on your phone, I will be screen sharing as well. Okay, so here we go. Okay, please let me know if you have an issue hearing me or would like to, please let me know. And again, if you think I can't hear you and you want to unmute yourself, you can also wave and I'll see your hand as well. Okay, so the first source that we're going to begin with today about sports and exercise on Shabbos is we're going to start with one of the sources we quoted last week, that of the Jerusalem Talmud and Masechet Taanit. We're talking about the destruction of the city called Tor Shimon. Right, so we discussed the reasons why it was destroyed, and there's two different versions of it. One version has that it was destroyed. Why was Tor Shimon destroyed? Some say because of licentiousness, or because of a particular harlot, or because they play ball. And then, depending on the gears you have, it's either on Shabbos or because they play ball, period. So it's because they play ball, period. That means that really this discussion would be going back to last week. But since one of the versions says on Shabbos, which also incidentally is the one that we're going to be, that a lot of people posh like halacha, so that's what we're going to be focusing on a bit more this time. Okay, so we have this interesting story where we say that it's forbidden because of licentiousness or because of sports. So they might be the same thing, they might not be. Okay, and then we have the commentary of the Korban Eda. Again, this is the stuff from last week, so I'm going to go through it a little bit quicker. When we get to the new stuff, we'll slow down, not to worry. Right, so again, there's two reasons. So one reason is why the problem playing ball is playing ball on Shabbos itself is a problem. Alternatively, again, he's giving the reason from last time that they would waste the time away, right, because of, right, Mevat and Talmud Torah, waste their ways away with this instead of learning Torah. Okay, so the question is something unique about the problem on Shabbos. We're going to get to what's wrong with playing sports on Shabbos, right? So we still haven't seen any reasons yet. We just know that it's bad. So the question is, why is it bad? Right, and then even we have, if you see here, this is an Eich Rabba, right? So again, this is a Midrash. We're going to quote it last time as well. And again, we say because they play ball on Shabbos. But we don't really have a reason as to why it's forbidden yet. We still don't have a good reason, right? But the problem of playing ball on Shabbos is because the city was destroyed. We don't have any reason why. So a little unclear. And to make things more confusing, right, we I'm sure people have seen this verse plastered around many playgrounds throughout the world, specifically in Yerushalayim. And the broad places of the city will be filled with children, boys and girls, playing in the broad places thereof, right? So girls and boys playing in the streets are considered to be a good thing. So last I checked, most times that I've seen children playing, a lot of the time it involves some sort of ball. Right. Oh, you could say, oh, it's a frisbee. Frisbees aren't a ball. There's something else. But it's the same thing. Right. So the question is, so how do we deal with this tension? So before we go on to any more sources, let's see what people have. Let's see, why would it be a problem to play ball on Shabbos? What do we have? What are the reasons we can think of? Feel free to chime in.
Erev.
One issue is
the Erev.
Erev. Good point. Right. right? Maybe because of the Erev, right? If you're playing ball and there's no Erev, you're then every time you throw the ball, you're violating Isser Daraisa, and that can add up. Good. So
it distracts you from. It's a distraction from being Shabbistic.
Right, it's a distraction from what you're supposed to do on Shabbos. Right, Shabbos isn't meant for playing games. Right, Shabbos is meant for a deep, meaningful spiritual experience. It is not meant to spend the whole day away playing catch. Good.
So does that?
Yeah. Yes.
So does that mean though that you're a young child, that's okay, but when you get to be an older child, when you can have deep, meaningful spiritual experiences, is something different?
Correct. We will get to that as well. Right? The difference between the age and stage of life and whether that's appropriate or not. So all these things we will get to. So far we have the potential issues involved. Again, there's nothing inherently wrong with this. So we have it as follows. There's nothing inherently wrong with sports. It's just that by doing so, you can inadvertently violate a whole slew of different things that are forbidden. Right? Especially if there's no air, if it's very easy to. Right? So again, there's also issues mentioned the Gemara Erevin, not going to get to it inside of an issue of playing this game with nuts, which is basically like modern day marbles, where we're afraid you're going to start smoothing on the ground to play the game better and things like that. Right? There's a lot of like ancillary issues that you could violate. You know, why can't you play poker? Because you might come to gamble and that's a business transaction you can't do on Shabbos. Why can't I play Monopoly? Because you're buying things, right? I'm sure everybody remembers that argument. And like, you know, somebody had that argument and everybody's like, okay, you can go sit over there. We're gonna play Monopoly anyways. So we'll see you later. So I was in like, yeah. So like the question is like, are these ancillary technical, maybe you'll violate it. Are those really a problem or not? And for more on the gambling point, and the transaction, we'll get to that in a later year as well, that gambling itself. But for now, there might be some ancillary issues that have nothing to do with those balls. Just like you might violate Shabbos by doing this activity, and therefore we're going to say don't play this game. We also have that it would be against the spirit of Shabbos, and we say that within the concept of what's considered to be appropriate Shabbos activity, we say we differentiate between the ages. The old and the young will have different rules. So now let's see what we can. Now let's see what our options are. Okay. So now we're jumping forward to right there is in regards to playing ball on Shabbos. So again, we get straight to Shulchan Aruch. We have two. We skipped a lot of history and debate this way and that way. When it's Shabbos versus Yom Tov, Mutar Aser. So we skipped a lot of that. But now we're fast forwarding a couple hundred years. We're now in the 16th century. So can you play ball or not? So we've got two opinions. We have the Shulchan Aruch, who says straight, based on the Yerushalmi, that it's forbidden to play ball on Shabbos Yom Tov with the ball. Like that's it. On the other hand, we have the Ramah, who says there are those who permit it, and the custom is to be lenient. So now we're now we're like, wait, so there's two entirely different things. Either it's expressly forbidden or it's allowed. So what? Right, so what do we do? Right, does that mean if you're Ashkenaz, you can play ball outside, no problem, if you're Sephardi, you can't? So some would say that. Or some would say that maybe depends on where you are, the minhag is in the place you are. If it's viewed as being not Shabbistic, then it's a problem. But if everybody says that that's fine, then maybe it's fine. So we'll look a little bit more into this to see what's going on here. Okay. So as far as my mom had mentioned, in regards to it being permitted depending on the person. So for this, we have the Magen Avraham, right? Rabbi Avraham Gordimer in the right commentary on the Shulchan Aruch from the 17th century. So he's commenting, this is technically later on in the Shulchan Aruch by Yom Tov specifically. Again, when you've managed to solve all of the potential Shabbos violations, right? Because now, and again, so none of the other ancillary issues are a problem. Can you play? So here's what he has to say. So, right, so are you allowed to play? So the Yom Shel Shlomo writes, it's a bad custom since this isn't happiness and enjoyable for adults. But for children, we won't protest. So what does it seem like the Kornamagen of Ram? So is it, so do we like the fact that people are, so should you or shouldn't you play games on Shabbos? Play ball. What do we think? Yes or no at this point? Well, here it seems like it's a little in between. It's like, well, it's not for adults, but kids can do so, but like they really shouldn't be. So on the other hand, so we're gonna, again, apologize for the time skips. But, right, so now we're fast forwarding to the 19th and early 20th century, the Aruch HaShulchan. Right, so this is a review. Yechiel Michal Epstein, right, one of the most famous posts come around. So he has a different thing. So he's dealing with the issue, you know, relatively modern times of everybody playing ball on Shabbos. So, okay, so if you want to read the Hebrew, it's there, but I'm going to read the English just for ease of use, as well as to make sure that we have enough time to cover everything, because we're going to try getting both sports exercise in this one, so it might be a little tight on time. So, our teacher, the Ramah, wrote that it's permissible to play with a ball even in public domain, even though it is only general pleasure. Meaning, it's right, so this is saying that if you're enjoying it, you're allowed to play sports on Shabbos. There are those who object to this on the grounds that this is not religious joy or pleasure except to children, but not for adults, like the Magen Avraham that we just quoted earlier. In truth, this is not a valid objection. For since it is precious to him within his own undeveloped religious consciousness, how can we withhold this from him? Additionally, he himself, meaning we're quoting the Maharshal, wrote that if he had set up an Eruv, then it would be permissible to move and carry out anything which is considered a utensil, even if it is for no need related to the day of the holy day at all. So on the other hand, we seem to have the Aruch HaShulchan seemingly coming out saying that it's allowed. So this seems to be a pretty big departure from before, right? So what is it? What's going on here? So, right, so it seems for playing ball, there's basically split down the middle. There are people who say that it's fine, assuming you don't find any issues, and others say that it's allowed. So the question is, right, and we said it might come down to, you know, what you consider to be appropriate Shabbos-wise, depending on the person or the individual. So it seems like if the good point is that we want you to be able to enjoy Shabbos, and you get joy on Shabbos out of it, then that's fine. And the question is just, what is the right joy? And that's what we're arguing about. But on the other hand, you might be saying that there's a specific problem with playing ball on Shabbos, as we mentioned last week, that there's something inherently wrong with sports. Perhaps there's something, at least for the Shabbos purposes, perhaps even during the week too, that sports might not be as upstanding and good for a good Jewish boy or girl to play. It's something else. So, right, so is that, again, clearly the Magen Avraham and the Aruch HaShulchan aren't convinced of that opinion, as are many others. They're simply just like, no, it's just based on enjoyment on Shabbos, or is it appropriate to play on Shabbos at all? And that's how you can wind up places where, you know, everybody plays ball on Shabbos. Again, we'll get into, again, how should you be wearing your shorts and T-shirt? Should you be, you know, wearing your suit and tie? Again, we'll get into that in a little bit, right? But just from the point of like playing ball itself, we seem to have both camps, some saying it's forbidden, some saying it's permitted. So let me just say right now that I asked Rabbi Karofkin, and he is very much not a fan of adults playing sports on Shabbos. Even for ping pong and billiards, he's not really a fan. Again, there are other opinions, but again, I'm staying Rabbi Kropkin's opinion. So then for little kids, again, want to go play ball, have a little bit of fun, but when they get old enough, well, sorry, you have to learn how to enjoy Shabbos the right way. So, but again, that's what's going to make every kid happy, but that's how it is. So again, an element of that largely comes down to the question, what should Shabbos look like? And if they're just going to be playing ball all day, then, well, it's not really Shabbos. It's simply a day with no school, so we're going to play ball all day. So, yeah. So that's in regards to playing sports. We'll get back to it. Don't worry. We're going to circle back, because a large part of this is going to affect by some other issues of doing things that people might consider to be fun on Shabbos. So another thing people might like to do on Shabbos and might find enjoyable is exercise. So for exercise, so I'm going to point everybody to a Mishnah in Shabbat. Okay, everybody sees the Mishnah here? So for this one, we're going to have to read a little bit of both the Hebrew and the English in order for this to make sense, because there's also some Greek words thrown in there. So I'm going to read Hebrew, then the English, and if any words are still not clear by the end, trust me, they should not be clear by the end. If not, if they are, then I did something wrong. So, okay, so sachin u'mimashmashin b'bnei ha'me'ayin, right? So you're allowed to use oil and gently rub your innards. Aval lo mitamlin, but you can't do mitamlin, and you can't do scraping, and you can't go, v'lo migardin, ain yordin l'kordema, one of another yourself piluma, can't go down to those places. V'ain osin afiktozin, you can't use artificial emetics. V'ain ma'atzvin and akatan, you can't set the small bone. V'ain mazirin and teshever, you can't set a break. Mishnifer kayado, if you dislocated your arm or shoulder, lo yitrafen betzonin, avarofetsu bedarkov yidrape yitrape. And if you hurt yourself, you can't use anything cold. Rather, you're supposed to just run it under water like you normally would if you're washing off, and then if it gets better, it gets better. Okay, I see Moshe raise his hand. Yes, Moshe.
But if it's something that's like severe, is because the way you have it translated here is setting a broken bone. Like, if you don't set the broken bone right away, there could be repercussions, and don't we say Ushmartis Nafshur Secha from Bechai Bahem?
Excellent point, right? So you're thinking, wait, isn't that, danger, like life threatening? And therefore, you should have to set it. Of course, you should set it right away. So the answer to that is that, correct. If you actually had a complex break, you would definitely not set. You would definitely set it right away and do all the medical things necessary, because that's a life-threatening situation. But let's go through. When you look at all the things mentioned in this, right? So the question is, how does all of these things relate to medicine? Right, that's the question, right? All these things we listed, right? I remember the last thing of nitrape, if it heals, it heals. So seemingly everything mentioned in this Mishnah relates to medicine in some way, right? Refuah. So the question is, how? As well as, what exactly would you have violated for each one? And is it simply medicine or something else? So what do we think? Do we think these are all just different types of medicine that are usher mid rabbanan, or do we think there's something else going on here? What do we think? What does it look like to us? Who thinks these are all just different types of medical procedures, and that's that?
I think it's got to be something else.
What was that? Say a little louder.
It's got to be something else than just some medical practices, because there aren't enough medical sciences inside.
Right, it's probably something else, because it looks like it might not just be medical. So let's focus on ones that might not be medical. Okay, so the ones that might not be medical, there's really only one that doesn't sound like it's medical at all. Okay, and that's the ein yordin l'kordema or piluma. The question is, what does this mean? Okay, so again, don't read the English because that's cheating. But right, so in English, you see how it's translated. So the issue is that translation is not how it was understood classically by the Rishonim or the Gemara. They talk about it being a muddy place where you go down for health reasons. So they view it being some sort of spa or something by the river, or you go to the mud bath by the Dead Sea, like one of those type of things is what I think it is. But why do I have here wrestling arena? So Rabbi Shaul Lieberman, right, or Professor Saul Lieberman, depending on which context you're reading his works. Right. So then he wrote a work on sports and exercise, on sport and exercise as it comes up in Babylonian, in the Babylonian Talmud. For exact reference, if you'd like, email me and I'll happily give it to you. So he mentions that what are these words in Greek and Latin? These actually, the word kikordema and piluma are two different words used to refer to a wrestling pitch. Right? Place we go down to wrestle, right? It's often muddy, right? This has been explained with the Gemara, why the Gemara talks about the mud, but there's something describing the place. And so the issue being is that you're not allowed to wrestle on Shabbos. Seemingly, a specific Isser Midrash Rabbanan about wrestling and going to wrestling arena on Shabbos. Which would then mean that all of these things that are mentioned here are all parts of the routine things that happen to a wrestler. You had standard injuries as well as standard upkeep. And the question is, we got a guy who's, you know, professional wrestler or semi-professional or thinks he's professional. And he's, you know, enjoying, and the question is, what can he do on Shabbos and not do on Shabbos? So we say, oiling up and giving yourself a, you know, light massage, right? Everybody does that anyways, you know, if you put on, you know, put a little bit of perfume, right? Right, so that's fine, right? A little bit of oils, right? So that's fine. But on the other hand, once you get things that are more intense, part of your work regimen, such as mitamlin, which is some form of exercise, or scraping, or using artificial emetics to make, like, you know, for weight control, or for, you know, setting the various injuries that you'll end up occurring when you wrestle. So those you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, right? Those are all a problem. So this would mean that there's certainly an issue to Rabban on wrestling. But good news, since the Rishonim and the Achronim had no idea what this meant, a Din Rabbanan that has been forgotten is just that. It's a cool academic thing that you might want to mention in a shir because it's fun. But halach lamasa, you can ignore what I just said about wrestling, because at the end of the day, that's not a problem, and you don't need to worry about it. So that's what I asked this to my rabbi leader when I first read this, and that's what he told me. He's like, yeah, it's excellent that you read that you found a cool academic article pointing something out, but we don't. But that's all it is. It's a cool academic article. It does not affect halacha at the end of the day. Okay. So now, as far as, you know, our getting back to our main thrust of the day, which is playing of sports. So we're going to have to focus in on what it means to be mitamel, to exercise. I noticed, Ma, you had a question?
I was just confused. So it's not that you can't, is you're saying that you can't repair these injuries, or you're not allowed to repair the injuries because you weren't allowed to wrestle to begin with. So if you got the injuries because you were wrestling, then we're not repairing those injuries. But so let's say
is the answer, but
yeah.
At the end of the day, we basically kind of ignore the words kordeman piloma halach lamasa. So whatever nafkumin that may have are not relevant is the answer. So in the end, the rest of these are basically all viewed in terms of being refuah, and they ignore the context of the fact that this was a, you know, a wrestler and all. Like, seemingly the Mishnah written to a wrestler. Do you know anybody who wrestles? Okay. You can tell them that I read a Mishnah that was written just for you. But at the end of the day, for the rest of us, it's right. It's all talking about different types of refuah, right? Certain types of refuah are allowed, certain ones are not allowed. Right. So again, so simply lightly using oil and a light massage is considered to be okay, but the rest of them are considered to be refuah. Or are they? So we're going to focus in on mitamel exercise, because that'll relate a lot to, let's say, the playing of sports and the like, if that's allowed or not allowed. Okay. So the question is, what is, so, don't be mitamel? Yes.
Me again?
Yeah, you asked the question.
So I'm a little bit. Me?
Yes.
Yes? Okay. So I'm a little confused. Okay, so the wrestling, okay, went out the window. But let's say it's Shabbos and you fell and you broke your leg. So,
if it's,
you know, you slipped on the ice, you broke your leg.
Right. So
what?
It comes down to, is it dangerous? There's dangerous injury, in which case you go straight to the hospital. So you go to the doctor and he fixes it. Right. On the other hand, if it's like, you know, you're somebody who's prone to get dislocations, right? And then therefore, you know, the answer is like, so you dislocated your arm, which, you know, happens all the time, again, there are people that who have this condition, right? Right? Easily dislocated or just easily dislocated rotator cuff, for instance, then if you say if your arm got dislocated, the answer is it's not like it'll be fine if you wait a couple hours. And the answer is that you're just gonna have to wait till after Shabbos to get it, you know, it's put back in. And you know, you probably shouldn't have been roughhousing earlier and just say like, you know, you're stuck waiting. Yes, Moshe.
You answered it.
Okay, good. So the question is now, we're going to focus in on what it means to exercise. Okay, so what is lehita mel? All right, so we're like, oh, we know what exercising is. But depending on the definition of what exercise is, will make a very big difference as to what you're allowed or not allowed to do on Shabbos. So the Rabbeinu Chananel, right, writing in the early 11th century in Tunisia. So he says, what do we mean by exercising? So what would they do? They would stretch out and fold their arms in front of them and behind them, and similarly put their legs to their thighs, warm up and sweat. And it is like an act of healing and therefore prohibited. Okay? So, right, so he's describing what actions are done in exercise, and he says it's comparable to refuah, and therefore it's a problem. Similarly, we have the Rambam. Again, writing about a century later, or actually a century and a half later, right? So again, it says that it's based on, right, word the right mitamlin, gives the Arabic word. I apologize for not being fluent in Arabic. I probably should have asked Rabbi Krupp in that because he actually knows Arabic. But anyways, right? So again, derivative of the word toiling. So, and therefore this is putting a lot of effort and exertion. Okay, so again, both seem to be doing a fairly good job of describing exercise in general. Okay? Right? So the question, so again, seemingly this, the for both of them, it appears to be this is something related to potentially, perhaps to medicine. So, and then in regards to, are you allowed to simply go around and go for nice long walks? So the answer is, perhaps you can. And we have the Tosefta in Shabbos, paralleling the Mishnah. So it says in rats in bishop. Sorry, you also this in English. You cannot run on Shabbos lehitamel for exercise, but you can go for a stroll as you normally do, and not worry about it being exercise, even if you walk the whole day. So, right. So this seems to differentiate between like. The fact that you happen to have gotten exercise by your activity isn't a problem. The problem seemingly is when you explicitly do your exercise routine. So, but again, the question is mentioned before, that the question is what exactly is required to reach the standard of what's considered to be itamel. So according to the Rambam Parish Mishnah, it looks like any exercise is a problem. According to the Rabbeinu Chananel, right, where he mentions something about it being similar to medicine, so it might be only, let's say, if you're doing your physical therapy on Shabbos is a problem, but maybe standard exertion might not be a problem.
Why would physical therapy be a problem?
Because that is definitely refuah.
But do we not still fall under the Shmartas Asher Sech element?
So Shmartas Asher Sech, right, so the Chai Behem, right, so the V'chai B'hem on Shabbos, right, so you can, is, so that would be if it's a life-threatening, in this case of life or death. Normally, physical therapy isn't a you're going to die if you don't exercise, if you don't do the physical therapy exercise today. Most time, and again, if somebody has better medical knowledge than me and knows of the exercises that are required to be done, every 12 hours in order to not lose, you know, like let's say function in a limb or something, then that would be a different story. But generally, since that's not how physical therapy works, so therefore we would permit it. We would not permit it because it's that's definitely refuah, as opposed to you're doing your stretches might not be, but if you're doing it because explicitly for refuah, explicitly for medical reasons, that would be the biggest problem because then it's not like refuah. It is refuah. It is medicine. And that would be a problem, midrabbanan.
So if you're doing physical therapy because because you want continuous function of, let's say, your shoulder or your elbow, is that so you're saying that's not allowed on Shabbos?
if you would lose your use of the limb, here for more on that, if you would actually lose the use of that limb, then you would be allowed to do the treatment on Shabbos. But most of the time with physical therapy, it's not a you have to do it every 12 hours type of thing. Normally, say you do it, you know, once a day or once every other day or a couple, like meaning if the timing isn't required to be done on Shabbos in order to not use loose of the limb, then that, right? So medicine that's not serious enough, you can't do on Shabbos, right? So minor things, let's say, you know, like, so again, if there's no potential risk to limb or life, you can't do it on Shabbos. If there is risk to limb or life, then it's mutter on Shabbos because of the chai b'hem.
Okay.
But shmarta molodom shotechem is not really coming into play here.
What about
that's in general why you should not bring yourself to injury or be proactive about not hurting yourself. Here, this is it's a slightly different angle. Okay, so hopefully it'll be a little clearer as we go on. It'll make more sense, right? So then, if it's right, so the issue here is when it's not quite at the level yet of it being met of it being a medical necessity. It's a again, it's a medical right. So it's not life threatening or limb threatening. It's just, you know, it's a medical thing that needs to be done, but not necessarily needs to be done right now. So, right, then we get to the Shulchan Aruch, and he talks about exercise. So he says, you're not allowed to exercise. And what is that? Pressing down on the body forcibly in order to exert yourself and cause sweat. Right? Not sweat, that should be sweat, right? So the important thing being there is that you're causing sweat, right? So that mentioning, his explicit mentioning of sweat is going to play a very large role in the way we end up concluding.
I'm so in trouble.
Okay, because when you're there, it's saying the issue is that what is the medical element that you are causing yourself to sweat, right? So basically, this dates back to the theory of the humors, which is either meant that you had either to add fluids or remove fluids in order to maintain a healthy body balance. So that's, you know, how bloodletting was extremely popular, as well as imbibing a lot of very different tinctures and elixirs. And right, and let's say the original zera of why is medicine forbidden? Because you might come to grind up the medicine. So that's more of a thing related to that. So that's where we, right, where we stand at the moment. Okay. Oh, I think I just lost the... let me put it back to full screen. Sorry. Read mode. Okay, good. Okay. Right. So the issue being, again, is sweating, because that's the medical part of it, is that you're sweating. Right. The goal of the exercise is to be all verschwitzt, right? Point is to work up a good sweat, and that's what's going to be medically beneficial. Right, and that's very important, is that, right, so since, right, so now, one of the strongest people who explain this is the Mishnah Berura. Again, Mishnah Berura, right, Rabbi Yisrael Meir Kagan, writing in Poland in the late 19th, early 20th century, right, so he's talking about what's exactly considered to be Yerfua. So again, since medication could be taken to cause the patient to perspire, any treatment that causes one to perspire is prohibited. Massaging someone who is exhausted to restore his strength is subject to debate whether it's permitted. And again, Avraham would seem to maintain that it is prohibited. Okay, so again, so it comes down to the question, a debate as to whether or not somebody who's fully healthy is allowed to do so or not. Right? If somebody is fully healthy, right, then what you're doing here is seemingly a medical activity, then that would be a problem. Right? But the inference people make from that can be made from here, though, is that if it's not done for a medical reason, then perhaps then it should then maybe it would be allowed. Let's say the average human being simply wanting to know to go do the push-ups and sit-ups when they're not any weaker. So for them, maybe it'll be beneficial. So to this effect, we right. So this was so that would be a very large, a very big kula that we could then have is that as long as we're not sweating, right? Therefore, it could be allowed. But this is only in regards if we think the only issue involved with exercise is the issue of refuah. But is that necessarily the only thing that could be a problem? So to that, we still have one, right? So we still have one more thing left, another hurdle to jump over. So here we go. So this is the Gemara in Shabbat talking about this sugya is called the sugya of Uvdin Dechol. Okay, things you do during the week versus things you do on Shabbos. Okay, so based on a pasuk in Isaiah, right, your honor is not by going your own way from attending to your affairs and speaking idle words. Rabbis inferred from these words of right of the of you honor of and you honor it that your dress on Shabbat should not be like your dress during the week. And as Rabbi Yochanan would refer to his clothing as my honor, indicating that appropriate clothing is a form of deference. The words going on your way, right? So in Hebrew, you know, me'asot rachecha, indicate that your walking on Shabbos should not be like your walking during the week. Right? And then when it says, m'sochav secha, from attending to your affairs, it means that it's prohibited to deal with your weekday affairs and to speak about them on Shabbos. However, affairs of the heaven, i.e. those pertaining to mitzvot, will be permitted. And similarly, when it says, v'davar davar, speaking idle words, means your speech on Shabbat should not be like your speech during the week, i.e. one should not discuss his weekday affairs on Shabbat. So here, right, so we have the whole walking on Shabbat, not like it should be during the week. So what is that? So what on earth does that mean? Right, this isn't so clear. And there's all these things that, again, there's your Shabbos is different from the weekday, right? If you're talking about the question of like, is this Shabbistic or not, that this Gemara that you're talking about, this is the spirit of Shabbos Gemara, right? So, extremely expansive, right? The way you dress, the way you walk, the way you talk, things that you do, right, have to be different on Shabbos than they are during the week. So now let's look at one of those examples as it applies. Okay, so yeah, now we're in Torah or Chaim, right? So he quotes the Gemara, right? So right, Imtashiv Shabbat Reglecha, right? Continuing on continuation of the Gemara above. So and then they say Shaloi Hilcha. So the explanation there is that you're walking on the ways of walking shouldn't be the same as during the week. So now he's giving some explanation of what that means based on other Rishonim. That Al-Kain, so let's go with the English word. Yeah, we're running out of time. Okay, so therefore, a person shouldn't run on Shabbos as they do during the week, but he can run for a mitzvah, such as a synagogue or something similar is allowed. Okay, so as it seems right now, are you allowed to go for a run for fun on Shabbos? Or for exercise purposes? Right, I'm seeing some shaking the head. Seemingly not. So, right, I'm wondering, Moshe, why don't you say, what about the mitzvah of Nishmarat Emel Neshotechem, right, of being healthy? Right, so apparently, right, that's not considered to be a valid example. The only thing that's listed as being a valid example of running is running to a mitzvah, not running, which itself could be a mitzvah. Right, so seemingly that's excluded. But not to worry, you have hope. For all those who are young at heart, what do we have? It's written the Sefer Mitzvotachtana that young men, bachurim, which does not sound like children, it sounds like young men, right? Who enjoy their running and their jumping, it is allowed. Similarly, to see that which you enjoy is similarly permitted to view. So this would seemingly be a very huge kula, right? Rabbi Yaakov Marie Bell in Sefer Mitzvotachtana is giving us a huge kula here, saying that if you're enjoying it, even though running and jumping should be forbidden. And remember we had before, right? The issue of being hitamel. So seemingly that also goes out the window. If you're simply doing it because you're having fun running and jumping, playing tag, you know, maybe it's completely mutter. right? Because it's part of owning Shabbos now. So what do we do with this? What do we think? So does this wipe out everything we've learned until now? All the research, clearly it's fine as long as it's fun, as long as it's fun for the kids to do. So the answer is yes and no. So we'll see some limitations on this as well as some qualifications. So Shulchan Aruch quotes verbatim the last bit, right? Young men who enjoy the running and jumpings are allowed to do so. Similarly, to see it, which enjoys permitted to view, right? If you wanted to go, you know, they're playing, you know, they're, let's say, if, again, whether or not you can play hockey on Shabbos, we'll leave aside for now, but let's say if they're playing hockey, can I go sit in the stands and watch? Even if there's no Eruv, right? Again, assuming that, let's assume there's not just playing. So, right? And then, you know, the answer is, seemingly it's fine. And the Rama adds, based on the Beit Yosef, that it's also similar to go for a stroll. So, right? So, seemingly, right? So, all of the kulas that we mentioned before seemingly are now allowed. This is great. Right? We can do whatever we want now on Shabbos. Aren't we? Aren't we? Aren't we so lucky? So, the answer is that, well, that's, it's not quite so simple because this is specifically in regards to running and jumping around, not necessarily with any particular goal in mind. When you have a goal in mind, right, it gets more complicated. Similarly, once you introduce that there's a ball involved, it also can get more complicated. And depending on of all the factors mentioned so far and how you weigh each of them, you will get to very different conclusions. Okay, so you'll get, so, right, so again, we mentioned a couple of factors here. We mentioned the factor of ball on Shabbos being bad, reason not necessarily qualified. We discussed potential ancillary issues that can come up with playing ball on Shabbos, right? In terms of other malach we might actually do by the by. We discussed the problem of exercising being a problem medically. And then we also have differentiating between Shabbos and the weekday. So depending on how you weigh these four factors, you can either end up completely allowing all sports and exercise on Shabbos, or you could wind up forbidding all of them on Shabbos, right? It depends on how you define each and every one of those. Okay? So depending on the combination thereof, you will get to different conclusions. So if we're now, so now again, another 20th century posseg. So we have the right Milam of the Hoel, right, Rav David C. Hoffman, right. So right, a very prominent posseg in Germany in the late 90s, early 20th centuries. So he was asked, are you allowed to go to the gym as part of the daily curriculum in school, at least to go to school on Shabbos? So part of it was they would make them train as well, right? So they're able to get out of writing in school on Shabbos because they're like, we're Jewish, and they're like, okay, fine, like we can let you go on that one. You don't have to write anything on Shabbos, but they had to sit through their classes, and they still had to join. And the question is, can they join in gym as well? The German word they use is Turan, right? Right, for all those who know German. I don't know German, but that I can tell is close enough to English that I know what it means. Right? So again, if you look inside, it's interesting. I'll give the whole explanation for what is exercise and what's medical, not medical, and what he means by it, in case you're confused by what he talked about was from our previous discussion. So he goes into it more in depth. Again, in the interest of time, we're going to skip that. So he says, exercise requires exerting yourself, even if you aren't sick at all, and your intention is just to strengthen your body's condition. It is forbidden. And that is why Rabbeinu Chananel says, like medicine, but not that it is medicine, right? It's kumo refua, domo refua, but not that it is refua. So therefore, exercise is a problem. Therefore, don't permit somebody who asks to train. But in a place where they have a custom already, it might not be forbidden for them. It's specifically in a place where they are worried about Eva, meaning hatred from non-Jews. The principal of the school will come to hate the Jews that don't participate in this activity, as happened in some schools called gymnasiums. So apparently there was a lot of hate between non-Jews based on Jews refusing to participate in the classes, notably the class called gym. Did this end up leading to things later on in Germany and anti-Semitism? I don't know, but we were afraid of it, and, well, apparently we didn't do a good job preventing anti-Semitism in Germany, because we all know what happened in the Holocaust. Anyways, so focusing back on our story here, right? So he says that you can't, he's Muhammad schools in the places where they happen to do so, but he says somebody asks, you should tell them no, right? Which means that it's a no, but maybe it's allowed. So this seemingly is very complicated and confusing. So again, let me summarize. Okay, so let me clarify. I'll start by saying Rabbi Korotkin's positions on these activities, and then I'll get back to the question of how we could get that. Again, so there are people who, of all as we mentioned, exercise on Shabbos, sports on Shabbos, playing games, being games with the kids or adults, as well as ball, exercise, having fun on Shabbos, going for a run. So there are people who permit and forbid all of these. I'm just saying that there are opinions who permit and forbid every single one. For more, if you wanted a full detailed list, I included on the next page a link to an article as well as a summary of it by Rav David Stav and Rav Avram Stav, where they go through much more in depth than what I did when they explaining the opinions who are Makel as well as those who are Machmir. They conclude more in the Makel sense with some of the qualifications of Rav Korotkin. I'm going to get to this in a minute. I didn't translate it because it's very, very long and complicated, and to translate without translating the rest of the entire article would be a disservice, because it assumes that you read the entirety of the 15 other pages they wrote with footnotes, which, again, I didn't get to all of it. Not even close. So, again, so a question being, let me stop sharing for now, because we're going to put the aside for now. So, what are the relevant issues? So again, so I'll give you the psak and then the reasons. And then afterwards, I want to, I see I've been getting some messages. I apologize for not noticing that. I got from Danny. It was talking about exercise specifically that was being referred to being specifically calisthenics. So we'll get back to those questions. Please raise them again when I finish the summary, and then we'll go into all the details. Hopefully I'll be able to answer everybody's questions and on everything. Okay, so also we're going to try and do a recording before the questions, where because we're doing a fundraiser for the Beit Midrash at the end of the year, so we want to show all the various shiur we've given on Zoom. So I'm just going to take about 2 seconds to say, everybody yell out sports halacha. I'll give you guys a countdown, but we'll do that after the summary. So just giving everybody a heads up. Okay. So again, so Rabbi Korotkin's positions on it. Again, there are people who are be machir and aser all of these things. So Rabbi Korotkin's position is, sports, big problem based on the Shulchan Aruch and not being Shabbos Dick, and there being very little grounds to allow it. Other hand, there's a question of exercise. So exercise, so Korotkin is of the opinion that we mentioned that it's specifically a problem that's done in a medical fashion, meaning bringing yourself to a sweat. And specifically when you bring yourself to a sweat is the issue, because that was the original Takana, Midrash Rabbanan, in regards to the medical issues as seen by the Mishnah Berurah. But that would mean that if you are simply exercising because, just an average healthy person, there is room to allow it. So, but the question is where would you be allowed to exercise? So, Rabbi Korotkin, again, there's also mentioned the issue of Utin Dechol, right? Again, things that are not really Shabbos Dick. So you would not be allowed to, you'll be allowed to exercise, let's say, in your own home on it. If you felt like you need to do some push-ups or sit-ups, get the blood pumping to feel better, right? That would be fine. But you would not be allowed to go for a run outside, because that, and let's say if you want to go for your walk, we mentioned like the Tosefta, you could go for your walk, but you should do so dressed appropriately for Shabbos. You should not, go in your shorts and your t-shirt, because that would not be Shabbos-like, and that'd be inappropriate. So that's Rabbi Korotkin's opinion. If you'd like more clarification, feel free to reach out to Rabbi Korotkin. That's Rabbi Korotkin's opinion, right? So right? That he, again, that in terms of sports on Shabbos is a problem based on the Yerushalmi, based on the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch, again, very much strongly not in the spirit of Shabbos. Exercise done in the privacy of your own home, right? Which is an effect on the overall spirit of Shabbos, would be fine. Don't use, in terms of using of equipment, make sure you're not adjusting any of the equipment on Shabbos, because that itself could be, you could be violating malacha, like you're putting weights on a barbell, right? So that would be, you could violate malacha by screwing, by tightening and screwing it on. That could be asur d'oraisa. So again, you should not be doing any of that on Shabbos either way. But on the other hand, there are people who also would forbid it. So again, so if you see somebody who is or isn't doing it, there is an opinion that can support them by somebody. The question is by whom and where they live. So as far as should you go screaming at the kids in the park playing ball, even if that kid is 45, seemingly not necessarily go scream at him. Okay. And yeah. Okay, so hopefully that was clear, right? That, and those are the factors that you're weighing, right? There's uvin d'chol, which... right, things you're doing, what you're doing versus during Shabbos. The question of playing with a ball specifically, the question of is exercise always medical or not necessarily always medical, right? So, because, you know, you could really argue both ways. But you could say exercise is different from, you know, kids playing catch or having fun playing tag, or even, you know, the kid is 45 playing tag, because, right, that's an enjoyable activity. Whereas, you know, like, as much as you enjoy, you know, your run or your jog, that's not simply a, you know, a do have fun thing. You're clearly doing it because, you know, it's healthy for you. You're not just, yeah, as opposed to the, you know, playing, you know, having fun playing a game, like you're doing it because it's only Shabbos of enjoying playing the game or activity, not because of the potential medical benefit you might have if I'll live longer if I exercise every day, and that whole thought process. Okay. So before the questions, we're going to do the recording. I see Moshe has a hand raised. Don't worry, I will address them. But we're going to first. Okay, so I'm going to do the countdown, right? So we will answer that if you need it for your mental health. Thank you, Danny. So before
we have to unmute everybody for this.
Yes. So everybody, please unmute. Please turn on your videos, if you can. That way we'll be able to.
What exactly are we supposed to do?
I'm gonna go 1, 2, and then we all say sports halacha. Okay.
Sports halacha. Okay.
Okay. So again, please unmute and turn on your video if you can. If you can't, that's okay.
I'll try to remember that part.
Okay. Here we go. 1, 2, sports halacha.
Sports halacha.
Okay, good. Now, okay. So hopefully that came out well. If not, Rebecca.
Play it back. Let's see.
With video
play it back. Let's see.
I can't play it back because it's in the Zoom recording. I won't find out until we're done. But hopefully it's fine. And if not, we'll have our smiling faces, which is more than good enough. Not to worry. So.
I should have taken my name up. We should change our names.
Don't worry. The video recording does not have your name, but I'd be willing to bet that most of those who watch the video will know who everybody is. So you'll also get the video too if you're signed up for the Beit Midrash Sefer Dov list emails. If you're not signed up and you'd like to be signed up, please put your email in the chat and I will happily send it to you as well, that you can be updated with all of our events. Okay. So now let's address the question from the audience. So I see that Danny wrote, and the question is, would you be allowed to do for mental health purposes? The answer is yes, because mental health would fall into the category of, right, let's say I need to go for a walk because of, you know, confirm my mental health. Like I need to do my exercise. So, right. So again, so that would probably be allowed. Again, so the question is to which degree, and again, degree of public would you do so? The answer, so we would even, so again, a lot of it comes down to the level of when you say mental health activity, right? Is it simply that, like, you know, you need a break to go for a walk, or is it the, if you think you're actually at risk of a mental breakdown, then the answer is please violate all Hilchot Shabbos to go make sure that you don't have that mental breakdown, because that's quite serious. So, Right. So that's so that's the question that right. So if you need for mental health, there's no, a lot of room to do so. Right. And from and if you want to hear more about issues with mental health and halacha, please see Rabbi Yoni Rosenzweig's book that's coming out shortly, where he goes very much in depth into these issues. That should be coming out in the next couple of months. If you want to pre-order, I think he's still having a fund a fundraiser towards that effect. Search Rabbi Yoni Rosenzweig in Google and you will find him. Also, he's on Facebook, so you should be able to find him pretty easily. Okay, right. So again, if there's again, so with medical, right, mental health, right, again, so a lot of it comes down to the level of, again, are we worried about depression? Now we're about depression versus just simply like, you know, I need a break, right? So then, could you say, I want to go for a run because I need a break? That might be up for debate if you're allowed to do that. But if you're somebody, let's say, who's like actually remotely struggling with anxiety or depression, right, or potentially are, then again, we're dealing with innocent drabonon here, whether it be exercise or sports. Again, at worst, this is drabonon. So again, we would most definitely say that if there's a actual health risk whatsoever, you should definitely violate that in favor of the medical one. And if it becomes a regular thing, please talk to your local doctor, psychologist, therapist, etc., to make sure that it is properly addressed. Right? When it happens the first time, again, I don't know. Right? But better, you know, again, talking about innocent drabonon here, so probably better just to go for the run. But if you, right, but you also should probably immediately following Shabbos, then go talk to your, right, a therapist or psychologist for help in that regard. Okay, so anybody else have any other questions in regards to sports and exercise? I see my brother Paul, our local buffer, high school student, Yeshiva Frisch. Let's see if he has anything to ask. Okay, so anybody have any questions to ask in regards to, you know, sports, exercise, and Shabbos? Right, another interpretation.
Why is perspiration the key indicator? Like for some people, like they like take for instance, just sitting outside on your deck, you could be drenched in sweat. Given the humidity we have in the summer here.
Right. So if you're deliberately sitting outside to have a schwitz, you're also in violation of the drabonon. And according to the opinions, if you're specifically sitting outside in order to schwitz, let's say you walk into like you physically deliberately walk into a sauna in order to sweat with that goal in mind, that would be a problem either of mitamel midrabonon according to many opinions.
But if you're going outside to because it's a nice day and you want to eat lunch outside
happening to sweat isn't a problem. Deliberately bringing yourself to a sweat for a medical purpose is the problem.
Okay.
So what about if you want to move a couch?
So that would come down to the issue of I want to move the couch, and therefore I technically ended up doing exercise. So that's not a problem because your goal if your goal is then you want to move the couch, right? So nobody said that's a problem. But if you're like, I want to exercise, I don't have weight, so therefore I'm going to start bench pressing my couch instead. So then you might run into that might be a problem. Again, according to the opinions that say the issue is sweating. So assuming that, you know, assuming you're good enough shape and bench pressing your couch will make you sweat, there's no problem. But if you were to, then it would. But according to the things that say, the issue is exercise done in a medical fashion, even for your maintaining your, you know, general health is a problem too. So that would still be an issue.
What if bench pressing your couch would get rid of COVID?
If it would get rid of COVID, that would be an entirely different story. Again, because that would be against the Sabukov Nefesh. Sabukov Nefesh would probably be permitted. But I have not heard any studies that say bench pressing couches. Okay, that's an interesting question. Sexual health activities. I would need more details for what you mean by that. What do you mean by the permissibility, let's say, of virtuing oneself off afterwards, or I just need a little more information for the question. Because depending on the circumstances. I'm not certain how that would, meaning that it would be unhealthy if you do too much. I'm not understanding the question here. Is there a problem with the number of, according to most opinions, that would not necessarily be a problem. If you were doing an activity explicitly in order for exercise, bring yourself to sweat would be an issue. But if you're not doing so in order to sweat, it would not be a problem, right? So just because, you know, you're going for a walk or, you know spending, all right, or activities with your spouse, just because it happens to also be, exercise accomplished, doesn't mean that that's going to be a problem. Similarly, let's say if your kids really like it when you throw them up in the air, right, and you know that you're gonna, by the end of the day, like, you're gonna be huffing and puffing, right, and you know it's gonna be a good workout. So then, like, assuming you didn't go over to the kid who had no desire to do so and say, I'm gonna use you now for my bench presses till I sweat, and that's why we're gonna play this game right now. So that would be a problem. But if it happened by in and of itself, it would not be a problem. There are no multiple purpose activities, right? So the question is, it the issue in regards to exercise is that you're explicitly doing something that's clearly done just for exercise and exercise's sake alone, right? Like, just like we said, like, you want to go for a walk, you want to go for a nice teal, right? Like, let's say you live in the mountains, you want to go for a nice hike because it's beautiful out, right? So even though by doing so, it's definitely be a good workout, but if your goal is, right, if you're doing it for, you know, if you're doing it expressly for exercise, then you can run into issues. If by doing you might have it'll be a good exercise and you're doing it for both, then there are, assuming that it's, you're not in violation of the rest of the issues of the whole, there is, would be room to be making. Just the main issue of it being a problem of being explicitly is if you're doing it specifically for that purpose. Right. Again, sweating because you want to go for a walk and you know it's hot outside. Right. There's no problem with, you know, but if, you know, like, you'd never leave your house because it's super hot outside and you're only going because, you know, you need a schwitz today, then you might run into that might be a problem. But again, there would probably be, depending on the exact specifics of the case, there would perhaps be more room to make up. But I would need an exact case to know. And I technically am not allowed to do socks, so therefore that's why I'm forwarding you to Rabbi Kropotkin for that. Okay. And then again, next week we'll talk about the advisability of exercise in general and whether or not that what mitzvah can and cannot be performed, right? Discussing Vishmar Tavon Chatechem, as well as, again, other issues that come up in regards to exercising to better serve God.